If you're there in Proverbs 31, and the last couple Sundays I preached a little heavier sermons, so I told you that I was going to try to lighten it up a little bit. This is actually a sermon that I've wanted to preach for a while, and I kind of forget about it, and then I come back to it, and then there's always something else that I'm wanting to or needing to preach on. But I want to preach on the allegory of wisdom and the virtuous woman in Proverbs. Okay, so what's an allegory? It's basically like a picture, right? It talks about in the Bible in Galatians 4 that Sarah and Hagar are an allegory of the New Testament and the Old Testament, and meaning that they picture that. Okay, so it's like a picture of it. And so what you see in the book of Proverbs is the fact that you see all this stuff about wisdom and having wisdom and cleaving on the wisdom, but then you see stuff about the wife of your youth and the virtuous woman. And there's so many parallels to this. And this isn't going to be all-inclusive, so if you get done with the sermon, you're like, you missed that one point there. It's like, well, you know, my sermons are already long enough as it is. So that means I need to kind of cut it back. But I'm going to hit on some ones that I definitely just always see when I'm reading through the book of Proverbs. But the thing is, notice in Proverbs 31, verse 26 here, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So the idea is that she's speaking wisdom, and so there's definitely a correlation with this virtuous woman and wisdom. And there's also an allegory in the book of Proverbs, which I'm not going to be really hitting on, of foolishness and the strange woman, okay? And so you see that a lot too. So it's very interesting how that's done. But go to Proverbs chapter 1, and notice that what's the whole point of the book of Proverbs? What are all these Proverbs for? And I'm going to show you that it's for the idea of getting knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, okay? So that's the whole point of the book of Proverbs, is to have wisdom and not to be foolish, okay? Now, in verse 1 there, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Okay, so we see that what's the purpose of the book of Proverbs? It's obviously to have understanding, to have knowledge, to have wisdom. And to simply say, what's the difference between those three things, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? And I look at it this way, basically, knowledge is knowing something that's true, right? If you said, I know the sky is blue, okay? Understanding is knowing why it's blue, okay? If that makes sense, right? And then wisdom's applying the knowledge that you understand, okay? That's a simple way of kind of, if you're wise, you're taking the knowledge that you understand and you're using it, okay? And that's kind of a simple way of kind of understanding why or how wisdom works and all that. But all that to say is that the one thing I want you to see here is that wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. And you say, what do you mean by that? Meaning that it's talked about as if it's a person, okay? It's not really a person, okay? But it's talked about as if it's a person, okay? And that's what it means to be personified. So it'd be like, wisdom, she went out and did this, right? But it's an attribute or it's something that you have or you've gained and attained, right? Now, go to Proverbs 1 and verse 20 and you'll see that. Like I said, this isn't all-inclusive because when you read through Proverbs, 8 and 9, you'll see this very clearly. And we're going to go to some of those verses, but I'm not going to just read the whole book of Proverbs for you today and try to get through every single point of where wisdom's talked about as a person and obviously the case of a physical woman. And Proverbs 1 verse 20 says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse and in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? So you see here very clearly at the very beginning of Proverbs, you see wisdom is personified as a woman, okay? Now, you'll see cases, and people take this too far because, obviously Jesus has the spirit of wisdom upon him, right? And the spirit of wisdom and spirit of knowledge, the spirit and all these different spirits he has, seven spirits of God that are upon him, but it's not like those are actual persons. It's personified attributes, if that makes sense. So that being said is that wisdom's personified. And go back to Proverbs 31, And we're going to be in the book of Proverbs pretty much through all this. I'm going to be going to some other verses, but really we're going to be sticking in the book of Proverbs to see this allegory, okay? And you say, what's the point of this sermon? I don't know. I think it's cool, first of all, to see how God does this. But also to understand this too, that when you're looking for a wife, you want a virtuous woman. And to have a virtuous woman means that you've attained wisdom, okay? You want a wise woman. You want a wise, you know, spouse. And and this applies too. I could preach a whole sermon on a faithful man, right? It says, faithful man who can find, it says in Proverbs. So, you know, there's that aspect too. So it's not like it's just women that we're trying to find, and it's just like we just can't find any women that are righteous, right? You know, you could say the same for men, but that's not the point of the sermon today. And so go to Proverbs 31, verse 10. This is your memory verse for this week. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Okay, so obviously that means this virtuous woman is very, you know, it basically priceless. If you're saying it's far above rubies, it's something that is just like you can't buy that. Okay, now go to Proverbs 3. And say, well, how are you going to, you know, well, a lot of times it's just what's said about the virtuous woman is also said about wisdom. Okay, and so in Proverbs 3 and verse 13, notice what it says. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. See, I mean, it's exactly the same thing that we're dealing with here. Obviously, you're dealing with wisdom. You want to attain unto wisdom. And you know what's interesting about the book of Proverbs is that the book of Proverbs is mostly Solomon talking to his son, right? It's like, my son, you know, hear the wisdom, you know, hear the instruction of your father. But then Proverbs 31, who's talking? It's a mother talking to her son, right? And so you have this father saying, you need wisdom, you need wisdom, you need understanding. And then the mother's like, you need to find a good woman that has all these attributes of wisdom. And it's interesting how that works, but you see here that wisdom, her price is more precious than rubies, and obviously you can see how this works with the Word of God, right? Because the Word of God is more precious than rubies, gold, and silver, right? It's even likened unto silver that's tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And the idea is that where are you going to get wisdom, okay? Where are you going to get knowledge and understanding but by the Word of God, right? And so that's where you're going to attain it. And obviously, the book of Proverbs is the Word of God, so you're going to attain a lot of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And anybody that reads the book of Proverbs, you know, if you're reading through the book of Proverbs, it's just like you're getting these little nuggets of, like, truth that just help you with life. You know, the idea of a soft answer turneth away wrath, right? You know, that's a simple thing that you can think about when you're getting into a heated argument with somebody. You don't just keep bringing it up. You know, you bring it down with a soft answer, right? The idea of, you know, holding your peace, you know, he that shutteth his lips is counted wise. And the idea of that you let your words be few and all that, there's just certain things that, you know, you hold on to. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And just on and on and on and on, you can go through the book of Proverbs that are just a one verse type of truth or understanding that you can use in your life. Okay. But what you want to do with wisdom is you don't want to just know it, you want or even understand it. Because if you know something and understand it, is that going to help you in life if you don't use it? Okay? Because you got to use it. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, being married and, you know, treating, you know, loving your wife, you can know that and understand that that's what the Bible teaches, but there's another thing to do it. Same thing with wives, to love your husbands and to be obedient unto your husbands and to, you know, all the things that you need to do as a obedient wife and what the Bible teaches. It's one thing to know it and understand that's what you need to do. It's another thing to do it. And when it comes to preaching, I can preach to you a sermon, and I can give you knowledge and understanding, right? But it's up to you to apply it, because I can't do that for you, okay? You have to say, okay, I'm going to take what I've been shown, I'm going to take what I've learned, and I'm going to actually apply it to my life, okay? And it's always great to learn new stuff, and it's great to understand everything that you're getting fed, But ultimately, if you're not using it, what's the point?
Right.
And, you know, and I've been, you know, I'll get on people for not going soul winning and doing things like that. You know, when it comes to church, it's like you come to church, but if you're not doing anything, what's the point?
Right.
You know, like, what's the point of coming to church if you're not going to do anything with it? Like, what, you're just gaining knowledge?
Right.
You know, you're just getting puffed up with knowledge. And, you know, the Bible talks about I can have all the knowledge, all the understanding, but if I don't have charity, I'm nothing. And the idea of charity is the idea of, you know, going out and using that knowledge and applying it and winning people to Christ and, you know, teaching others to do likewise, right? So, you know, that's the idea here that we're getting. And we can also apply this. Obviously, the idea here is that we're applying this to a woman. You know, a virtuous woman is likened unto wisdom. And ladies, that should be something that you're trying to attain to. Okay, none of us are perfect, okay? So I'm not saying, like, you know, you're like, well, I don't, you know, fall in line right there on this one little item here. But the idea is that you should be attaining unto that. Just as much as I'm trying to attain unto the young men in Titus, you know, that I have, you know, my doctrine that's, you know, grave and sincere and all this stuff that I'm supposed to be trying to do as a young man, that I'm sober, all this, right? Now, go to Proverbs 3. And see another correlation here or allegory that we see. Proverbs 3. And wisdom is likened unto a tree of life. Now, notice what it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 16. It says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Okay? And the idea that it's getting here is length of days. Like, you know, it talks about in Proverbs 31 the fact that she's going to do him good. Her husband, she'll do him good all the days of her life. And you're laying hold on that virtuous woman as your wife, right? And the fact is that if you have a virtuous wife, it's going to be like attaining unto wisdom that's going to do you good all the days of your life. You're going to have long days on the earth. And it's a tree of life. Now, Proverbs 11:30, we definitely see this to be the case. This is a very famous soul-winning verse, obviously. Proverbs 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And we know that souls, you know, are likened unto, you know, if you were to think of like trees of life, right? The idea is that when you win someone to Christ, what are you reaping? Everlasting life. And the idea of having a tree of life is the idea that it ever lives, you know. And so the fruit of a Christian is another Christian or this tree of life. And the idea is that if you're wise, you know, those that produce fruit and those that go out soul winning and win people to Christ, they tend to be the wisest Christians, okay? Why? Because they're using the knowledge that they understand out in the field. And that's the thing that, you know, it's interesting. It's always interesting to me that the churches that are doing more works for God and that are actually doing what the Bible says, they happen to have the best doctrine. You know, there's no coincidence to that. You know, there's no like, well, I wonder why that is, right? And you'll find churches that used to have good doctrine, you know, and then they've changed their doctrine, but you'll always notice that the soul winning times seem to go away.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, you wonder why that happened. Because you stop going soul winning, and then somehow you get into this rut of repentance of sins or something like that. But see, if you're out soul winning, you're saying, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death into life. If you're saying that week in and week out, you're going to be hard-pressed to fall into those stupid doctrines. But if you're just sitting in your ivory tower and you're reading through the book of Proverbs, you're like, I want to understand all this knowledge, but you're not using it, you tend to get into false doctrine. Okay, and I'm talking about saved people, saved pastors, saved churches, that when they stop doing the work, their wisdom seems to diminish. And their doctrine seems to go downhill as well. And so, you know, there's definitely a straight correlation with this. But the idea here is that, you know, wisdom is likened unto a tree of life, but a virtuous woman, The idea here is what is a tree of life producing, or what are you producing when you win souls? You're producing spiritual children, right? And Paul even says, you know, I've begotten you in my bonds, right? The idea of begetting children spiritually to the Lord, and how we do that, we get people saved and all that. And the idea of a virtuous woman is that you have children, but not only that you have children, but those children are growing up to do what they should be doing, right? And Jesus talks about this, you know, that he wants us to have much fruit, but he also wants our fruit to remain. You know, the idea is that we don't just get them saved, but we also try to get that person to go out and do likewise. You know, that's the Great Commission. Now, we can't force anybody, you know, as far as when we go out and get people saved, we can't, like, drag them in here, get them baptized, dunk them under, you know, without them wanting to do it, and then force them to go out and do what we're doing. But our children, it's a little different, right, because they don't have a choice. You know, they are dependent on us. And obviously, the idea is once they become an adult, they become the virtuous woman, or they become the faithful man. You know, that's the whole idea, that to rear up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's the ultimate goal there. But that doesn't change the fact that they're your children, okay? So I'm not here to say, like, oh, it's not really fruit unless it's actually doing what you're doing. No, that's ridiculous, right? A baby can't do anything, but it's still my fruit, okay? And the Bible talks about the fruit of the womb is his reward, right? It talks about in Psalms, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 127, actually, we'll get to that. I wanted to hit on the fact, too, that, you know, people that we win to Christ, that is our reward, okay? Now, we're going to have other rewards, okay? I believe we'll have other rewards, crowns, different things like that. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me stick on the spiritual children that you can beget in this world. And obviously, that's being wise, right? You're laying hold. And you think of this, too. It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Now, this is another sermon for another day, but you probably heard this phrase in the New Testament, lay hold on eternal life. And the idea is that it's not like, well, I didn't have it, and I need to lay hold on it so I can get saved. The idea is that you're laying hold on eternal life, and what you're trying to do is live, you know, for eternity. You're trying to live to bring forth fruit unto eternity and for eternal things, okay? You're not living for the temporal things. You're living for the eternal things, not for the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And that's another sermon for another day, but definitely ties in with wisdom and soul winning and all that. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Okay. And the idea that is this. Let's say there was no judgment seat of Christ with any rewards. Okay. But you won 100 people to Christ in your lifetime. Okay. Just for sake of argument, I'm just throwing a number out there. Okay. Let's say you won 2 people to Christ. They will be there with you for eternity, and it will be known for eternity that you're the one that won them to the Lord, that you're the one that gave them the gospel, and it's your joy and rejoicing for all eternity. Listen, you know, the world can take away a lot of your stuff. They can take away all your material things. You know one thing they can never take away? Are the people that you won to Christ.
Right.
Can never take that away. Because you know what? If Jesus said, you're in my hand and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand, that means no one is able to pluck these people that we get saved out of his hand. And it's an eternal reward, right? And I think about that when it comes to soul winning. And obviously, I believe there's going to be other rewards. And this isn't the only place that Paul says this, but in Philippians 4 and 1, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he's basically stating, you're my joy and crown. You're my crown of rejoicing at the coming of Jesus Christ in his presence. That's going to be our glory, right? Because the idea is like who you bring with you. Who's coming with you when you go to heaven? And that's something that no one can take away from you. And, you know, that is, wisdom right there. That is being wise. And that is something that can, and like I said, I believe that you can get the crown of righteousness, you can get the crown of life, you can get the crown of glory. You know, there's different, like, crowns, you know, physical crowns that God's going to give those that serve him. and you can lay those crowns at his feet and obviously show that for all eternity what you did for him and other rewards that will be there on top of that. But just the fact of who did I bring with me, I can imagine that would be enough for me.
Right.
Right? You know, the idea that this person's coming with me, this family member is coming with me. And not to be like showing off, but just the joy of knowing like, hey, they came. And do you think for one second that they're not going to be rejoicing with you and thankful and just, you know, joying with you that you did that, right? The love, I'm sure. And listen, there is this unfeigned love, if you will, of those that you win to Christ. There's this respect that never goes away. You know, it's kind of like Mike Malutich. We get into battles. We get into fights. You know, we're good friends. He was my best man at my wedding. And we'll go at it, you know, when it comes to just talking about certain subjects or whatever. But there's this respect that never goes away. And listen, I'm a pastor of a church and he's not. And, you know, as far as, you know, I could be like, listen, Mike, I'm a pastor now. But I still look up to Mike because he's the one that invited me to a Baptist revival where I heard the gospel clearly explained and then talking to him afterwards nailed it down. You know, that, you know, doesn't go away. And that's the kind of respect and type of, love there that can never be, sundered, right? And other people may look at him and be like, you know, if he said that to me, I wouldn't talk to him again. You know, if he talked to me like that, I wouldn't talk to him again. Listen, there's pretty much nothing that Mike could probably say to me where I'd be like, I'm never talking to you again.
Right.
Okay. Now, I may not call him up every, you know, no, I'm just kidding. But I love Mike. And, you know, he's not here in West Virginia, so we don't get to see each other as much anymore, you know, with him being, with his job and everything. But that's just an example, right? My younger brother, Justin, you know, I want him to the Lord, but there's a certain type of connection that he has with me that other people wouldn't have necessarily, like other brothers maybe wouldn't have with me. And I only have two brothers, but you know, it's not like I have this whole list of brothers that like they don't have that same connection. But that being said is that, there's that type of connection you have because of that and definitely a reward. Go to Psalm 127, Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. And so here's the physical aspect, right? Because we're talking about having spiritual children, you know, getting people saved and winning people to Christ, winning souls to the Lord and all that. But then you have like the virtuous woman and, you know, the idea of having children. And this is something that's going out the window today and the idea of having children and all that is the fact that children are a blessing. And I know we joke, you know, because we have a lot of children and it's not easy. Nowhere does it say that having children is a cakewalk. Having children is easy. You know, you're going to love every minute of that. Okay, that's not what it says. Okay, but they are a blessing. Okay, and anybody that has children in this church, I'm sure would say they are a blessing and I don't regret having children. And I'm not saying that's what all the world says because there are people in the world to be like, I wish I wouldn't have had that many children. It's like, I feel bad for your children, you know, like, which one are you talking about? Which one would you get rid of? You know, like, it's a weird thought to me to think that of any of my children. It's interesting because when you have children, you can almost not even remember what it's like not to have that child, right? You can't imagine not having that person in the world. And you can't really know that until you have children to know that type of love that you have for them and just that connection that you have with your children that, you know, there's definitely no child, and I'm like, man, I just wish, man, that one, you know, trade that one out with someone else, you know, it's just not there. Now, there are definitely differences in personalities, that's for sure, no doubt. Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And this is, you put your whole sermon on this about having children, but the idea here is that that's an heritage, right? That's your reward, is children. And the idea is that what I'm trying to link there with is the fact that when you get someone saved, that's your crown of rejoicing. You know, that's a reward that you have. And like I said, if that was the only reward I had going into heaven, I'm good with that. You know, but I have not seen nor ear heard. You know, the Bible, as the Bible says about what God has prepared for us. And listen, anything that you think as far as what would be great and what God could give you, it'll be way above that. Like, you can't comprehend what God's going to do for you. So, you know, like I said, just having that would be enough for me. I'd be like, that's good. I'm good with that. But, you know, just being saved from hell is good enough for me. And, you know, just going out and doing what I should be doing, that's just duty. You know, that's just because, you know, I should be doing that. Not to pay him back for salvation because he wouldn't let you do that. But that shows you God's love and how it is by grace. Because anything you do for him, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And you will be rewarded based off your work. Okay. Now, there's other verses on this. It talks about children. You know, Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. And so if you didn't kill your children, your grandchildren are your reward. No, I'm just kidding. But obviously, you know, having grandchildren is a crown unto old men, it talks about. And then it says Proverbs 31:28. You don't have to turn to these. I'm just kind of throwing these out here. Like I said, you could probably spend a lot of time going into all these different places, but dealing with the virtuous woman, her children ariseth up and call her blessed. And so the idea is that, you know, this virtuous woman is bringing up children, but she's not only bringing them up, okay, because, you know, most women can have children, okay? And I know there's some women that can't and there's complications and all that stuff, so I'm not here to be down on anybody that's, like, struggling having children. But most women can have children. But it doesn't mean all of them are good mothers, right? And the whole point here is the fact that a virtuous woman is a good mother, that when her children, they rise up and call her blessed. You know what they're doing? They're standing up for her. You know, like the idea of, you know, when someone comes in, you know, I think of this, like if you're sitting down and like an elderly person comes in and they're like wanting to shake your hand, the proper thing to do would be to rise up, right? Arise to the hoary head. The Bible says, and that it's just a sign of respect, right? Is the fact that I'm going to stand up, I'm going to take the time to stand up in your presence, shake your hand, right? Now, if it's like a kid that's coming up and shaking your hand, you don't really necessarily think about that, right? You're not going to rise up for a kid, right? But the idea is that the kids love their mother, they respect their mother, and they're raised in a manner to where they rise up and call her blessed, right? They're not cursing their mother, okay? And that doesn't always happen, and that's why you want a virtuous woman for a wife. And Proverbs chapter 4, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me show you another allegory here of a virtuous woman and wisdom. So we kind of talked about how children are kind of like a crown and inheritance, you know, all that stuff. And honestly, you know, in Psalm 127, it talks about how they're going to fight for you in the gates, right? It's like you're building this army. You know, you have these arrows in your quiver. And isn't that true? I mean, especially in the day and age we live today, listen, we as Christians that love the Lord need to have a lot of children to get some good people out in the world that's going to fight for the cause of Christ, you know? And obviously we go out and win people to Christ and we're trying to bring them in. But how about we just start from our own home here and have a bunch of children that are going to grow up, and then they're going to multiply and have other children, and then they're going to raise them to do likewise. You know, that's one way to do it. That's not the only way we should be doing it, but that definitely should be taking place. And we need to be cognizant of that. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, and like I said, this is more of a Bible study, okay? So, you know, my fire and brimstone preaching was for the last two Sundays. This, I'm not really getting that fired up about the virtuous woman here, but it is something, I hope I do this sermon justice because I've had this on my mind for a while. I've had this written out as far as the correlations here. And I just think it's a really cool thing what Proverbs does here. And hopefully I'm doing it justice. In Proverbs 4 and verse 5 here it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now, I want you to think about this because I'm going to show you, actually, keep your finger there, okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 and verse 4. It says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Okay, so there you see the dichotomy, right? The virtuous woman is a crown, but the foolish woman is like rottenness to the bones. It talks about a good name and all that too, as far as men is concerned. But here's the thing. If you have a rotten wife, that doesn't look good on you, right? If you have this horrible wife, and I'm going to kind of get to some verses on this. But the thing I want you to see there is that notice that the virtuous woman is likened unto having a crown. You know, her husband is crowned with this wife, right? It's kind of like this glory that he has, right? And the woman is the glory of the man, the Bible says. So the idea here is that you have a good, virtuous, wise wife, that reflects really good on you, okay, as a husband. You're like, people look at that and be like, you must be a good husband. Now, here's the thing. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. This is dealing with wisdom, okay? But see, knowing that this is an allegory, okay? Knowing that the virtuous woman and wisdom is an allegory, that means when you look at the stuff about wisdom, that should apply to your wife, okay? So that should apply to what you do with your virtuous wife, okay? Notice what it says in chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Okay, you know what that means? Don't forsake your wife and love your wife. You can't expect your wife to be this virtuous, shining ball of wisdom if you're not a good husband.
Right.
Okay, you have to lift her up. Notice what it says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Okay, so you need to be exalting your wife. This doesn't mean put her in authority above you. This just means they exalt her, right? You know what this means? Is that if someone's talking bad about your wife, you shut that down. You say, no, my wife is an awesome wife, right? My wife is a good wife. And, because they may be saying, well, she doesn't do this. No, she does more than that. You just don't see it, Or they'll say, people, there's haters out there. There's people that they'll just hate on people even though there's nothing wrong with them, right? And they'll body shame people. They'll be like, your wife's ugly, You're like, well, you're blind. I don't know what to tell you. But the idea here is that, my response if anybody would say that, which, first of all, they're blind, okay? My wife is beautiful. But the thing is that people are trying to do that to try to bring her down. Because, listen, there are people out there that hunt for the precious life. There are adulterers out there that are coming for you men. And know that they literally want you because you're married. And they want it to be that way.
Right.
They love eating their bread in secret and in darkness. And I told you I wasn't going to get into the foolish woman and the foolishness, but it does very well link here. And the idea here is that when you exalt her, you say to those people, no, she's beautiful and you're blind. And I don't give a rip what you think anyway. And the idea is that you need to exalt them and defend them amongst others, okay? So if you want to know this, if you say anything bad about my wife, I'm going to take her side, okay? If you say anything about, she's not doing this or do that, bring it to me, and I'll deal with it, okay? If there's something that you think is that big of a deal, then bring it to me. And you know what you'll find is it's probably not that big of a deal if you're not willing to take it to me, okay? And maybe you're just trying to tear down somebody. And this goes for all wives, okay? This isn't just for me, as a pastor. But just wives in general, okay, is that that's the husband's job, and we shouldn't be tearing down other people's wives, and ladies, that shouldn't be happening, and all that. So, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And, the Bible says in Proverbs 12, we saw that, where a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. We'll go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 11. And let's see how that applies a little bit with the virtuous woman here. So you say, what's the whole point of the sermon? Well, I hope that when you read Proverbs now, when you see wisdom, you should be thinking, how would this apply to my wife? Right? Or if you're not married, how would this apply to when I do get married? Or if you're, if you're a man and you're saying, hey, I want to find a good woman, well, here's the type of stuff you want to be looking for, and here's how you want to treat that woman, right? Then if you're a woman, you say, well, what do I want to be like? Virtuous woman. You look at wisdom, what's wisdom like? Okay? And I think, people, we get this bad rap because, we believe that the husband is the head of the home, He's in charge. He makes the rules. And the wife is to submit unto the husband. And somehow we get this rap in the fact that, well, you know, then the wife is just this big dumb animal that doesn't, you know, she's just barefoot pregnant in the kitchen, you know. And the idea is that she just doesn't know anything. She doesn't do anything. Listen, she's likened unto wisdom. Okay? That means that the wife is to be very wise. Okay? And so that means that as a wife, you need to be educated. Okay? You need to know how to do math. And, you know, everybody's just coiling back on that one. We're like, oh, math. I'm not saying calculus. I'm saying, like, you know, maybe get up to algebra, okay? But what I'm saying here is that you need to know some of this stuff, because it talks about in Proverbs how she's like, you know, taking thought of a field and buying it, okay? That takes some knowledge and wisdom to know how to do that, you know, especially today's age with all the permits and all the stuff you got to do and go through all these loops and you got to read all this stuff and figure out all this stuff to figure out how to do that. So it's not like the wife is just dumb, okay? Actually, a virtuous woman is wise. It's, you know, she is likened unto wisdom itself. Now, going on here, in Proverbs 31, verse 11 here, it says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." We saw that with wisdom, obviously, long days and all that stuff that wisdom will give you. And the idea is that, you know, when it comes to the home and everything, I'm not worried about what's going on at home. I'm not worried about, you know, groceries or anything like that. You know, that's my wife, you know, and I'm you know, trusting in her that she's going to take care of that. And, or just different things when it comes to the home or just different things in life. But the idea here is that I have no need of spoil because she's not just burning up my money like it's, you know, nothing. You know, she's not just lighting money on fire, buying things that we don't need, or, you know, not being cognizant of things that we need to do. And the idea is that I don't need spoil. I don't need to go try to find some other money somewhere else. And notice what it says in verse 23. And this is kind of the point I want to get across here, is that if she's a crown of, you know, unto you, notice what it says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." Now, I believe this is tied to having a virtuous wife, because if it's not, that would just be some kind of like blanket statement. It'd be like, you know, a virtuous woman has a husband that's like a good guy or something like that. The reason that he's known in the gates and that he's honored like that is because of his wife, okay? Not the only reason. I'm not saying like you could be just some dope and like everybody's going to honor you because you have this virtuous wife, but it reflects on you, okay? You have this virtuous wife, people are looking at you like you're, you know, obviously doing something right, okay? And it, you're just known in the gates because of your wise wife that you have. And so it's definitely something, women, that you want to attain to, and men, we want to search for. And it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." So that means that this isn't something that's easy to find, okay? And you know why it's not easy to find? Because how many women today are in Proverbs 31 trying to live like that? Saved Christian women that are saying, "I want to be like Proverbs 31. I want to be like this." Okay? It's few and far between. Okay? And that's why. That's why that's true even today. And listen, there's nothing new under the sun. If I get coffee everywhere. So go to Proverbs 31. You're in Proverbs 31 still, hopefully. And verse 30 there. It says this, it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And this is another great verse to have memorized, is the idea that when you go to look for a wife, you're not saying like, it's got to be this Barbie doll, you know, what the world has crafted as being beautiful. Now, listen, man, I'm not saying that you have to find, you marry someone that you're not attracted to at all, okay? I'm not saying that, okay? You obviously want to be attracted to the woman that you want to marry. Same thing, ladies, too. I want to say this to ladies. Listen, you want to marry someone that you're attracted to because you're going to see that person for a long time, okay? Right. And let's just be honest here, okay? I'm going to get into the application of this verse, but let's be honest. When you first meet somebody, what do you see first? Their looks, okay? Right. And for anybody to say, "Well, looks is nothing," they're selling you a bill of goods, okay? Listen, when I met my wife, the first thing I thought was she was really cute, okay? You know, like I saw her, she was talking to one of my friends, so obviously I wasn't gonna like date her, like try to go after her at that time. But at the same time, like I thought she was really cute, you know, just on the side because, you know, I have eyes, okay? I can see. And so, and turns out she thought I was good looking too. So, you know, and it worked out in the end. We ended up getting married. We're going to have a fourth child coming on the way here, so it's working out well. But the idea here is that it's not saying that you shouldn't be attracted, that's not a factor, but here's what it is. When it comes to priorities, beauty and looks is down here, okay? Because let's be honest, most people are pretty attractive, you know, as far as not everybody's like up here at model level, okay? And I would say at our church, we're all pretty average, you know, looking. I don't think that any of us here is like ready to go join GQ, which I wouldn't do anyway. A bunch of fags on there anyway. Man, I can't get through a sermon without you know, getting into that subject. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, stuff is like basically, you know, pushed towards that. But I want to say this, that you want to obviously be attracted to the person you're looking at. But the priority list of that, okay, is that, listen, you don't trade like someone that is really, really handsome or really beautiful for being a fool, okay? So if you're going to pick a priority, you'd want it to be this way, okay? What you really should be doing is like, no one's going to be up here on this unattainable, like wise, virtuous woman level, okay? So let's get that straight, okay? You're never going to find that person that has just arrived, okay? Because you haven't arrived yet. So you got to be in here somewhere in that range, and if you're going to pick which one's going to kind of go higher than the other, you're going to pick the virtue, the wisdom, that's going to go higher, okay? And the idea here is that, you know, beauty is vain because beauty fades. And in the end, you know, we're not always going to look like we're in our 20s or 30s, and you know, it goes on and on and on to the point where, you know, in the end, it's going to be the fact that you love each other for who they are and, you know, what they do, okay? And go to Proverbs 11, verse 22. And this is what I think of, okay? So if you're going to see what's the opposite of beauty is vain, but, you know, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, is this right here, okay? Proverbs 11, 22. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion, okay? So here's your opposite, okay? You want to see a dichotomy here? Okay, you have this beautiful woman, but she's not discreet. She's like this, you know, obnoxious woman, okay? And listen, I don't care how pretty that girl is. If she opens her mouth obnoxiously, automatically disgusted with it. Like, I don't care how beautiful she is. Like, that is just automatically not attracted to her. And other people be like, how are you not attracted to that? She's like a, you know, Barbie doll over there. It's like, yeah, she's obnoxious. Like, it makes me sick to even hear her, like, say anything, right? But the idea is that, you know, when you have someone that's very wise, discreet, what's discreet mean? Meaning that you're not like just blurting out everything, you're discreet, you're chaste. And that's a thing that the Bible talks about women, the older women teaching the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so that's an attribute of being discreet, okay? And so there are plenty of swine out there with a jewel in their snout, and Hollywood's full of them, okay? Yeah. Of those women that are out there that are very pretty on the outside, but inside they're just disgusting, yeah. And the idea here is that a virtuous woman, you know, doesn't mean that she's not pretty, okay? I think every, you know, woman that's in here and, you know, ladies and all that stuff are pretty, okay? Obviously, I think my wife's the prettiest, you know, but you know, that's just the way it is, okay? That's the way the cookie crumbles, my friend. But all that to say is that, you know, everybody in here is pretty, but, you know, that shouldn't be the marker that when people come in here or if you're finding somebody, be like, I want the most handsome guy, ladies, or man, I want the most beautiful girl. It should be, okay, I'm, you know, she's pretty, and what about, you know, does she love the Lord? Is she saved? You know, where's her heart at? Is she humble? Is she discreet? And just to give you some verses on someone that's not discreet, it says in Proverbs 9, you can follow me with this if you want, but I'm going to kind of go quick on this. Proverbs 9:13, it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Okay? So what are you dealing with? A woman that's clamorous and just dumb. Okay? That's the modern vernacular that I would put in that. They're just stupid, right? They don't know anything. And you've run it, and listen, man, you probably ran into girls like this. Before we were married, you'd run into people and be like, that's a pretty girl. And then you talk to them and you're like, I can't hold a conversation with this girl. Like, it's just like, I can't. And it's not like I'm like super intelligent or anything like that. It's just like, I can't like talk about anything but the weather, or I don't know. There's nothing to talk about. Like, there's just no intelligent conversation going on there. And this is why you want to find someone that loves the Lord, that's in the Bible, because if they're in the Bible, there will always be something intelligent to talk about. Yeah. And they will be wise, because the Bible makes the making wise the simple. The Bible talks about the law of the Lord and the words of God makes wise the simple. And so you know what this tells me is that this foolish woman is not in the Word of God. Proverbs 21 verse 9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So you don't want this brawling woman, you know, that you're married to. And what is this? You're just getting into obnoxious women that are just, you know, boisterous, all those different things. You want someone that's of a meek and quiet spirit. And this isn't to say that your wife, listen, my wife, first of all, is very intelligent. But second of all, she is not, she's hard-headed like me, right? If I'm going to convince her on something, I got to convince her on it. Right, I can't just blow smoke at her and she'd be like, oh, okay. No, it's like, it's got to be like, boom, 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 boom. This is why it's the way it is. And she's going to check me on it, you know. But that's the way you want it to be. I don't want a lemming as a wife, you know. And a lemming, by the way, are those animals that just follow each other off a cliff. I want, you know, when I have when you have a virtuous, wise wife and then they follow you, you know, on their own volition and say, you know what, I see that, I believe that. You know, that makes me feel like, oh, okay, then I'm actually right about this. I'm actually, you know, I'm not just, you know, just this person just following me blindly, okay? And all that to say is that, you know, that husbands, by the way, or men, that means that you better know your stuff, okay? Right. You want a wise wife, you better be wise yourself, because imagine that a wise woman, they don't want some dunce of a husband, you know? They want someone that knows what they're talking about. And they're not just saying, follow me because the Bible says, you know. Now, ultimately, they should, right? But at the same time, you know, women are going to be looking for that wise husband if they've done due diligence to become wise themselves. The Bible repeats that verse, by the way, in Proverbs 25. I won't repeat it for sake of time here. But whenever the Bible repeats a verse, or Proverbs repeats a verse, then you probably should take note to that. But you're in Proverbs 25 or 21 still. In verse 19, it says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Go to Proverbs 27, verse 15. Proverbs 27, verse 15, it says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind in the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. So it's basically stating that, you know, this woman that's not a virtuous woman, that's not discreet, that's contentious, right? Trying to hide her. Right? You don't want to bring her out in public. You don't want her around you because she's going to embarrass you, right? But a virtuous woman, you have no problem. You trust that, hey, I bring her anywhere I go, and you know what? I'm not afraid that she's going to say something crazy or embarrass me in front of people. And you probably all met women like that, that just like say the most obscene things and just say crazy things, and people are like, that woman is nuts, you know, like, or just like crazy stuff. And you can just imagine the husband's just like, oh, again. But you want a wife that people look at and be like, that's a wise woman, that's someone that knows what they're talking about, and they're not saying obscene things, they're not fighting all the time with you and all that. And that brings me to another point, is that husbands and wives, as much as possible, if you're going to fight, don't do it in public. Right, keep that at home. First of all, it's not good to do that in front of other people, because then you're putting them in that whole situation. It's not comfortable for them. Obviously, you should try not to fight as much as possible, but you know, husbands and wives are going to fight. At the same time, you know, you don't want that to be out in public. Go to Proverbs 30 and verse 21. Proverbs 30, verse 21, it says this. It says, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with mead, and for an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is higher to her mistress. So it's basically saying, like, these things are just kind of backwards. It just doesn't, you know, like, everybody's just like, what? You know, how did that happen, right? And it's talking about an odious woman when she is married. And it's like, you see this woman, it's just like this big, dumb animal that's like, just like obnoxious, brawling, contentious. And then she gets married to this good guy, and you're just like, what is going on? And ladies, you could probably think of that, you know, you're just like, what? How in the world did that person get married? And that's what the Bible's teaching here. It's like, yeah, you know, there's things that the world is disquieted over, like that contentious, you know, odious woman. And you think of odious, like think of odor, okay? You know, someone, it's just like, you know, no one wants to be, anyway. So I'm going to get off that one right there. But the idea here is that you want a wife that's a crown unto you. You know, they're bringing you honor. And that's why you want a virtuous woman. You don't want this foolish woman that you're like trying to hide when you go out in public, and you don't want to be around people and all this other stuff. And you got to live with them, okay? So you don't want to be like, all right, I got to go find my corner of the housetop to go live in because I don't want to be around this woman, you know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's better to be single than be married in those cases. And you know, and that's what you got to think too, you know, because I know we have single people in our church. And, you know, I didn't get married until, when did I get married? It was 2014, but I was trying to think of, like, how old I was. I was 29, right? And so I got married kind of later than a lot of my friends did, you know, as far as getting married, like, at, you know, 19, 20 and stuff like that. But the thing is, though, is that I'd rather have waited to find a good wife than marry and then, like, be stuck with this, like, odious woman, you know? And that's the thing that you got to be thinking about is that I know, listen, we've all been there that want to get married, but you don't want to rush things. You want to make it sure that you're finding the right person. You know, you're finding the person that, you know, they're saved, they love the Lord and all that. And you want to start off on the best foot forward, right? And, you know, when I got married to Holly, you know, we were both, she's a little younger than me, but it was an easy transition. Okay, going from being single to being married, it was like just great. Okay, I can't really say we didn't fight really anything like that. It was just a good transition, and I didn't have anything. Other people are just like, oh, you got to go through these battles at the beginning. It's like, not really, not until we had kids. Okay, now kids, that's a transition. Okay. That you have to get into, and that is a challenge, okay? Now, that being said, is though, when you find, though, a virtuous woman that's wise and all that, then it's not this whole big battle. You know, we had already kind of gone through that before we even got married. Anyway, all that to say is that going on to the next one here, I only have two more points here, and these are going to be shorter. It says Proverbs 6 and verse 32, and this gets into... you know, the idea of the downside of not having, you know, of destroying having a virtuous woman as a wife and destroying having wisdom, and it likens it unto adultery. So in Proverbs 6, we're dealing with a literal person committing adultery, okay? So we're dealing with the physical, like having a wife and you commit adultery. Verse 32 says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound of dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And this is true as the day is long, that obviously if you commit adultery on someone else's wife, the idea is that I don't care what you give that person, you know, there is a bit of shame that will always be with that person. And yourself, by the way, okay? Now, I've never committed adultery, so I can't, like, speak from personal experience, thank God. But the idea here is that you can only imagine the type of embarrassment, shame, and lack of self-esteem that you would have after doing something like that. You know what that tells me is that you don't really love your wife like you think you do, okay? Because someone that loves their wife would not do that, okay?
Right.
And you have to be thinking about how it destroys your own soul, okay? Now, this isn't talking about like losing your salvation, but just the rest of your life, you're going to be living with this scar of what you did, okay? And that is true as the day is long, and that's something that you just need to be constantly thinking about, okay? And man, if you ever get into a situation where there's like these temptations out of there, read Proverbs chapter 6. Read Proverbs chapter 7 dealing with a strange woman and just meditate on that, think about that, and know what the repercussions are. But go to Proverbs chapter 8, and Proverbs chapter 8, we're dealing with the fact of, I said I had only a couple points. I need to maybe skip some here. Proverbs chapter 8, I got another page there. Some people look at my pages and be like, are you done yet? But Proverbs 8 and verse 36 here, it says, Proverbs 8 verse 1, I just want you to see that you're talking about wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? So the point I want to make there is that we're talking about wisdom personified here. Verse 36, it says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Okay. So you're talking about wisdom here, but see how it's coupled with how would you go against a virtuous woman? You'd commit adultery, right? And you're wounding your own soul. You're destroying your own soul. And the same thing is with wisdom, is that if you sin against that, if you're going against wisdom, you're hurting yourself, right? It's not just, you know, other people that you're hurting. And I was going to go into the fact of, you know, drink waters out of thine own cistern and talking about rejoicing the wife of thy youth. That's how you get away from adultery, is that you love your wife, you do benevolence, all this stuff when it comes to your wife. If you're doing that with your wife, then you're not going to commit adultery, okay?
Right.
It's just a fact, okay? So that's how you keep away from that. Proverbs 8, you're in Proverbs 8, go to verse 35. We're talking about wisdom, okay? It says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So it's talking about obtaining favor of the Lord. Go to Proverbs 18, verse 22. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Like I said, this isn't all-inclusive because, you know, sake of time, I can't go through all the places, but these are ones that definitely obviously pop out, you know, that are just clearly like wisdom, you obtain favor of the Lord, and a wife, you obtain favor of the Lord. And just how it uses the same terminology. Proverbs 14 talks about, in verse 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And this gets into the fact of, you know, what's the role of a wife is to guide the house, right? I will that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house, right? And the idea of being discreet, chaste, keepers at home, right? And the idea is that we're, you know, that's where they're supposed to be at. And you can look at Proverbs 31 and just see all the places household is mentioned in there. Okay, for sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this, okay? But you can just see where it talks about her giving meat for her household, giving clothing for her household, and just the idea of just her keeping her house, building her house. When it's talking about building the house, it's not talking about like the construction, okay? Okay, I'm not saying it couldn't take place, okay? But at the same time, like, it's not saying like she's out there like building up studded walls and like, you know, putting purlins in and all this stuff, okay? This is talking spiritually speak, or like on the a personal level of her house, meaning her husband, her children, right? And just the house, right? It's just like the church is the house of God. But when we say that, we're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people, right? The congregation, okay? And Proverbs 9, just to show you that parallel with wisdom, Proverbs 9 and verse 1, it says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake the foolish and live and give in the and go in the way of understanding. Okay, so you can definitely see how she's furnishing her table. You see this with the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And then Proverbs chapter 24, the last place I'll show you here, And verse 3. Proverbs 24 and verse 3, it says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wisdom counsel, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. And if you're going to be a strong man, you know, and you're married, you're going to be a strong man. I'm not saying you can't be a strong man and not be married. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're married and you're going to be a strong man, you're only going to be as strong as the virtue of your wife. Okay? Listen, I would not be able to pastor up here if my wife wasn't who she is. Okay? Meaning that you're not to have wives that are double-tongued and slanderers and all this other stuff. That is the qualifications for a deacon's wife. So obviously that's the qualifications for a pastor's wife, okay? So if my wife were to be a slanderer and double-tongued and go into all the, you know, the things that it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, then that disqualifies me, okay, as being a pastor, because I'm not ruling my house well and I'm not, you know, getting her to where she needs to be as a wife, okay? And that means that I'm not going to be as strong as I can be, you know, or be a pastor and be in that position, you know, or even a deacon for that matter, if that were the case. And that being said is that, you know, we need to have wise wives or virtuous wives, and how we can hold on to that with wisdom. So those that are unmarried, you know what you should look at? Is look at this as just obtaining wisdom. And husbands and wives, you should look at these passages with wisdom and foolishness and apply that to your marriage. Okay? Apply that to who you're looking for marriage, okay, for those that aren't married. And then those that are married, apply that to your marriage, okay? There's a lot more about marriage than you thought, okay? So if there's anything you get out of the sermon, is that right there, that when you see all this mentions of wisdom personified and all these different things in there, know that you should be looking at that as a marriage passage, okay? Obviously in everyday life too, but there's a lot more about marriage than you thought, okay? And like I said, this is an all-inclusive, and I could preach a whole other sermon just dealing with the foolish woman, or the foolishness allegory with the strange woman, okay, and the adulterous woman, and just how those things go together. And, you know, maybe that's another sermon for another day. But I hope that was a cool little allegory, or seeing that in the book of Proverbs to kind of help you out. But let's end with a word of prayer. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, and just pray that you'd be with us today as we go out soul winning, but also the next service and all that. Lord, we just pray for the fellowship. But Lord, we just thank you for the book of Proverbs and just all this, all these pictures and allegories that you throw in there. And Lord, just how beautiful the book of Proverbs is. Lord, we just thank you for that, and just pray that you'd be with us throughout the rest of the day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.